began to think about what would happen in this service today, I began to think about several things. I began to think about the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is coming again. He is coming again. And there's so many today that have just ignored the Scripture and ignored the Bible. And maybe that's another message for another time. But as I was trying to decide exactly what I was going to say here today, there's a few scriptures that come to my mind, and I wanted to kindly pull it together with our communion service that's going to take place in just a few moments. So when you look in the Scripture, there's two things that surfaces in my heart today. First of all, when Jesus left after the crucifixion, after the burial, after the resurrection, He told those disciples and those that was there to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That hit me sitting back there. And I thought about that because we can come to days like this. We can celebrate the resurrection. We can talk about what Jesus has done. We can clap our hands to the song, "Oh, what a Savior." But in all reality, the responsibility is to go and tell others what we've already experienced. Until somebody has experienced salvation for themselves. Paul alluded so many times that it was like a mystery. You can tell them, but they don't understand it. So we know that from Scripture that it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to what we use the word. The word is to illuminate. I'll go a little further and do it in country boy language. Turn the light on. We've got to be able to turn the light on so that people will be able to see the gospel and understand what Jesus did. Romans talks about this. I'm just going to hit the high spots on it, okay? But Romans, it talks about this in the book of Romans. How can they hear except they have a preacher? Preach means to proclaim. You're a preacher. If you're saved today, you're a preacher. You say, "Well, I don't have a pulpit. I've never stood behind a pulpit in all of my life." You are a preacher. Why do I say that? You may not have a piece of paper and like I do and to set you forth as a preacher, but you're a preacher. I read just a few minutes ago, and in the book of Luke, you don't need to turn there, but when the resurrection had taken place, the angel that was there went and said, "Go and tell Peter, go and tell the disciples," is what the word says. Go and tell the disciples. And they wanted to see it for themselves. But the message was on go and tell. When we look into the Bible, it talks about go into the highways and into the byways and compel them to come in. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher." I want you to get the understanding of this, that it is to go and tell others what Jesus has done for you. As that angel did. I've already mentioned that this morning. But as the angel did, when Mary and Martha, they came back and they came to anoint Mary Magdalene. They came back to anoint Jesus in the tomb. And when they got there, they found a great surprise. I read it yesterday. And as they came there, guess what had happened? The stone was rolled away. We know that. We know the Bible. But yet, as that stone was rolled away, the angel of the Lord said these words: "He is not here, for he is risen. And I think about that today, and I think about if Jesus has done anything in anybody's heart here this morning, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. The Bible's already told us to go and tell. The Bible says to go into the highways, into the hedges. But in all reality, we're telling people every day. We tell people by our actions. We tell people by our words. We tell people by the way we live our lives. We tell people by our testimony. We tell people whether we know that or not. You may be the only Bible that some people will ever take the time to read. Now, in simplicity, why is it so important that we go and tell? All these beautiful songs that were sung today. Because there is a waiting world, waiting for somebody to lead them to the cross. Now, I know when you get into a lot of secularism and a lot of different ideologies and things of that nature, that there are those that will downplay Christianity. There are those that will not receive the Word of God. And there are those that are naysayers, and there are those that are agnostic, and there are those that are atheists. But my friend, when you've experienced Jesus in your heart, nobody can change your mind. You know it's to be the truth. So let me reel this thing in just a very short period of time here. When we think about what Jesus said himself, why do we do the things that we do? First of all, I believe that Jesus wanted his story told. History. He wanted his story told. When you look into the scripture, and I do want to turn there for this, is that in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, Jesus was there, and this event took place on the eve of the crucifixion. If you'll remember, when you look through the scripture, Palm Sunday was last week, where that they were there and they were crying in the Aramaic. They were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were saying, help us, save us. They thought that Jesus might have been the political figure that was coming to take them from the oppression of Rome, but not so. He was there to seek and to save, which was lost. If you remember Zacchaeus last week when he climbed up in the tree, Jesus, the latter part of that scripture says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So just a week later, Jesus is there with his disciples. And this is right before the crucifixion. Jesus is the one that instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus is the one who told us to go and tell. How do we do that? We have to reflect. And that's what I want us to do for just the next few minutes, right before the ushers start handing out the communion elements, is I want us to reflect. I want us to reflect upon the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the promise that the angel said in the book of Acts chapter 1, that this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. May I submit to you, I was reading yesterday, and it used this word, it used the ritual of communion. When I was sitting there at my desk, I thought, something about that don't sound right. The ritual of communion. Again, I looked at it and I thought, this something about this don't sound right, Brother Tim. Guess what it was? It was AI. It was putting that wording in there. And I thought to myself, no, my friend, it's far, far more than just a ritual. It's far more than what we do on a Sunday morning at the Thomasville Church of God at Easter time or at another time of the year. But we reflect. We remember. We remember Jesus. We remember what Jesus did. We remember that Jesus spilled His life's blood. Jesus even said this in the Lord's Supper. He said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body.' And He took the cup and He gave thanks. He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. This is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom.'" And the Bible said, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus is the one that instituted the Lord's Supper as we know it. Jesus is the one that, as we partake of the bread, as we take the bread, the wafer that we're getting ready to take in just a few moments, that when we think about, even though there was not a bone of His body broken, as Brother Tim made reference to, Isaiah 53 talks about it. In Isaiah 53, he talks about how that He was rejected and how that He was led as a lamb before the slaughter, but yet He opened not His mouth. We understand when we look at the body of Jesus, we read the Scripture of how that He was taken into Pilate's hall and He was stripped naked. And a purple robe was put upon Him and a crown of thorns upon Him. And they smote Him. They pulled the beard from His face and they spit in His face. You say, "Preacher, did that really happen?" It really happened, friend. It really happened to one that we know today as our King. Because He did not come to overthrow the political process of Rome. He came to seek and to save you and me. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Turtle doves couldn't do it. Pigeons couldn't do it. Oxen couldn't do it. Goats couldn't do it. Sheep couldn't do it. That was a temporary atonement. It is a reflection. But yet we know when the blood was spilled upon the doorpost in the book of Exodus chapter number 12, that when that blood was seen, that the death angel passed over on that day of atonement. When Jesus gave His life's blood, it's a reflection of the old, but Jesus said, "This is the New Testament in My blood." When we take the cup, it is a reminder of us today. And men, if you'll just start gently moving through the crowd and hand out the elements. It is a reminder today, just go ahead and start handing them out. It's a reminder today that when we take that cup here in just a few moments, it is a reminder of the blood that Jesus spilled for us on Calvary. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've never done communion." Here's what's required. Biblically, for communion, you need to be saved. You need to be able to acknowledge that Jesus has washed your sins away. The Bible says that we're not to drink of the blood. We're not this cup. We're not to take that cup. If we do it unworthily, which basically means that you do it without salvation or you do it without acknowledging the sacrifice that Jesus has done, has given for you. You don't have to be a church member. You don't have to be any of that. You just have to acknowledge that Jesus died for your sins. And we're going to give them just a moment to hand out the elements. And if you're in this room today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, today would be a great day for that to take place. When Paul the Apostle had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus introduced himself to Paul on that road to Damascus in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Paul had a personal encounter with Christ. And we find out that it was Paul that remembered the sacrifice of Jesus. Paul reflected upon what Jesus had done. And this morning, friend, that is what we want to do in this communion service, is we want to remember. We want to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And as they are finishing up, maybe upstairs, I'm not sure if anyone went upstairs. Years ago, I was at a Church of God General Assembly. We had communion at that General Assembly. Some of you might know the name Paul Walker, who pastored Mount Perrin for years. Right when we got ready to receive the elements, Brother Walker, in his very distinctive manner, stopped and he paused. And he said these words, "Has everyone been served?" And by that, we thought, is everybody in the assembly being given their cup? But yet he took it a little bit further and he said, is everyone being served? To the unnamed people groups around the world, to the nations of the world, all around the world today, the question was, has everyone been served? And the answer was simply no. So today, have we got a reason to go and tell? We have a reason to go and tell. Because there is a world that is waiting for a Christian, for a believer. Just go tell your story. I'm going to pray for us first before we continue on. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father God, for the amazing grace of Jesus. The blood that Jesus spilled on Calvary has never lost its power. Today it is still as real as it was 2,000 years ago. Now, Father, we do know the Bible teaches us to examining ourselves. We are to look into our hearts. We are to look into our own lives. We are to take an inward look into our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And Father, we ask you this day, as we pause in this moment, Lord, forgive us. Lord, I know that within my flesh, I'm unworthy. Within myself, I'm unworthy. But because, as a teenager, what Jesus did for me in saving my soul, Lord, I thank you for that today. I thank you for your touch. And I thank you today, God, that we can stand here today redeemed, acknowledging the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On your communion element, it's two pieces. The top piece is a thin piece of plastic to cover the bread. And there's one part of this that I want to put an emphasis upon today. It's because when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he said, "This do in remembrance of me." So today we are in reflection. We remember what Jesus did. So you can take your bread in remembrance of him. Then you can uncover the second layer, which uncovers the juice. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Lord, we remember your sacrifice. You can take your juice. And as Jody comes and prepares to play something for us, if you're being baptized today, you can be dismissed to go change, be prepared, as they're going to change. I want to read some scripture out of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 6 gives us the instructions for water baptism. There's a lot of examples all throughout the scripture for this. And again, Paul's the writer to those in Rome. And as he starts this, he starts in verse number 1 of Romans 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And Paul says, verse 2, "God forbid, how can we which are dead to sin live any longer therein?" "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ?" We're baptized into his death. "Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Baptism is not a ritual. It's an ordinance in the church that we take serious. Because I don't ever want to tell anybody, "You're okay." I remember years ago, there was a story, and this story has always stuck with me. Now, I'm going to probably offend a few right here, but just get over it quickly and don't hold the preacher accountable too long. I remember years ago a preacher that I was listening to, and it's up to him. He said it, not me. This preacher had a dream. And in this dream, he was in hell, the preacher. And he was walking through there, and he was picking people up and looking at them and throwing them back down into hell in a dream. Picking somebody up and looking at them and throwing them back down. And the interpretation of that, he said, "What is this?" He said, "I'm looking for that preacher that told me that I was okay." My friend, I don't want to be that preacher. So, baptism is not a ritual. Baptism is something to take very serious. that you are saying publicly, you're going public with your confession, that you have accepted Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sin, that you've accepted Jesus' redemptive work on Calvary, that you're saved, you're born again, you know you're saved, you know what He's done in your life. From that, we go to the Scripture, and it says when we are immersed in the water, it's like Jesus going into His tomb and coming forth as of the resurrection. You go down in the water as a symbol of you dying out to the old man, no longer held in captivity by the sins of your past, no longer held in bondage to drugs and addiction and sensual things, but you're coming up out of the water to celebrate the new life that Jesus has given you. And now you're no longer a sinner. You're no longer walking in sin. But now you're walking as a saved saint of God. And your lifestyle changes. Your behavior changes. Because you now are acknowledging in your own life, I'm a child of God. Does that mean you won't ever have another temptation? No. Does it mean that you'll not ever have a slip up? No. But you don't slip and stay down. Amen? You don't slip and stay there. You get back up. Why? Because you're a child of God. Because the Bible says that then we are to walk in the newness of life. Because He lives, I can live also. Let me revert back for just a moment. When we done the communion part, Jesus and Paul reiterated, Paul said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Easter has been a great time of reflection. A great time of reflection of what all God has done for individuals, not only in the service today,